Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
All right, you two kicked off their Las Vegas residency last night, the first of 25 nights they'll play in the brand new Sphere venue. It was built at a cost of over $2 billion. It has a 2-acre screen, The Edge says. It's the largest sphere on planet Earth. This is an Achtung Baby residency, revisiting the U2's 1991 album. But let's find out what else they played now from RTE's Dave Fanning. Dave, good morning.
Good morning yourself, Brendan. How are you?
So you were there on opening night just a few hours ago now. Thanks for staying up for us. What was it like?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think people knew it was going to be something pretty special. Like, you know as well as I do that they've always been kind of, I know what the live performances, very groundbreaking with the stage shows and always embracing the latest technology. But this one is just like, you know, on a different planet altogether. The really weird thing is, if you think about what they did with this album 30 years ago, which is what they're celebrating, the Achtung Baby album, they did Zoo TV with all the TV screens. And then, do you remember 4 years later, they did the, what do you call it, the Pop Mart with the ridiculously over-the-top swizzled and the, you know, the cocktail stick and all that. And then, like, they had the Claw in Croke Park, and then they talked to the space station up in Mars or wherever it was, all this kind of stuff. But this one here, it's really weird. They don't have to do anything because the venue does it all. They just have to be a four-piece band on a pretty small stage. There's no bit that juts out to the audience or any of that kind of thing. And they just do what they do. And this wraparound thing is outrageous. I mean, it's so outrageous, actually, that it was pretty clever. After about four numbers, you realize the people are just sort of in awe of the visuals to the point where that's all they seem to be taking in. So they stop it for about four numbers and you just see a band, like as though they're on the stage with the Bag It In or something, just playing.
They did a kind of a mini Rattlin' Home set halfway through Achtung Baby,
well, actually,
was it?
They did. In fact, funny enough, they do, like, of the whole Achtung Baby, they do about, what, six or seven songs. And then before they do the last few songs, they do a bunch of old numbers, and they do the same again at the end. And the old numbers in the middle were all from Rattlin' Home. Now, I don't know if they were from Rattlin' Home because Jimmy Iovine, who's the producer of the album kind of thing, was in the audience, and Dr. Dre was there with him, and Snoop Dogg was with him. I mean, I didn't meet them. I did meet John Bon Jovi. Paul McCartney was there. I didn't meet him, and he did a big nod to Paul McCartney. And to the fact there was at least three Beatley bits and three different songs as well when they played stuff later. But yeah, they did Achtung Baby. They did a lot of Rattlin' Home. They did more Achtung Baby. And then they did the kind of hits that you know very well, you know, including the new single, which sounded better, by the way, and looked amazing. Because it's called Atomic City, which is what the name of Las Vegas used to be. And you just have a camera. I think the camera was outside at that time. And you just get a vista of Las Vegas and the streets from, like, you know, you could, like, I mean, about a mile wide. It's just, like, what did you say, The Edge said it was two football pictures. It's absolutely insane.
Is it like a gig? Is there spontaneity and stuff there? Or is it more like a show or a video game or something? Like, when you say they could have played Rattlin' Home because Jimmy Iovine was in the audience, do you think it's going to change over the nights?
No, I do think it's going to change, but I don't think that was the reason they played those numbers necessarily. I'm just adding two and two together and getting nine. I don't know. But, I mean, it will change. It'll have to change. I mean, they're going to do 25 dates. An awful lot of people will go to the mall and they'll want something different. But, like, it's just, the visuals, we've always been told, 2.3 billion, they're going to build another one. Like, it's Madison Square Gardens, as you know, and they're in New York, and across every single venue you ever play in an arena in the States is a sports venue. It's built for sports and it's just modified for music. This is 100% for music and visuals, sound and visuals. Actually, we were told there was something massively special about the seats. And for a while I was in the seats before I went up to the front. And to be honest, I didn't get anything. Like, and it's supposed to be something individual to each seat. I missed all that. I don't know what that was about. But, I mean, it didn't matter. Because also, by the way, wherever you are in the venue, it doesn't make any difference at all. Up in the top tier, you still just get this amazing, immersively crazy wraparound experience. It's impossible to describe the screen. It is, obviously, it's the biggest thing ever. We all know that. But it's so big that it doesn't necessarily dwarf the band, because the band are thumping out the songs in a really good way, the four of them just there on stage.
But, and to wit, no Larry Mullen, Larry minding his back and all that. It's a bit weird without Larry, because, like, more so than most drummers, Larry is central to U2 Live, to U2 the band, to the U2 experience.
He is, but I could be really mean and say the most important thing of all is to keep the beat, and your man kept the beat very well. He's a Dutch drummer that nobody really has heard of before. He only had one thing to say all night. He just said, there is only one Larry Mullen Jr. Obviously saying the right thing. In fact, he was wearing this T-shirt. He was wearing this T-shirt towards the end. I thought, well, he's got a T-shirt of Larry. And then I saw it up close. No, it was Elvis Presley, actually. I was wrong. But like, they're in the top 10 of bands that have lasted longer with the same lineup. And like, I mean, I think the longest ever is ZZ Top. They went from the 60s right up to the 2020s. Until one of them died. But like, you know, you two are in the top 10. They've never had a change, you know. So it is going to be a bit strange. I don't think Larry's going to be here for these 25 gigs, but there's talk of him being back by February, whatever that means. Like, when they say back, they couldn't bring this gig anywhere else. You couldn't see it anywhere. No wonder it's a residency. This simply couldn't happen anywhere else.
They'll need to get a few other bands to fill that this one sphere they have anyway for the time being. So look, Dave, I'm getting a thumbs up anyway. It works, yeah?
Oh my God, it really does work. When I mentioned for Paul McCartney, he was there. There was a bit of Love Me Do and Blackbird and Sgt. Pepper towards the end. They knew what they were doing on the night, and they knew who was in the audience. No, it really does work. It absolutely is fantastic. Because one of the most important things is they're a really tight rock and roll band with great songs, and that's what they did all night.
Okay, well, Dave Fanning, thank you for giving us... That's probably the first review in the world, I'd say, of that. Dave Fanning, get to bed.
Well, I would say so, man. They only left the stage.
Okay, listen, get some sleep, Dave.
Oh, God, I need it. Thank you very much, Brendan. Take it easy. Good luck. Bye.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.